Okay, go back to Psalm 143, if you will. Psalm 143. The title of this message is Prayer of a Needy Sinner. Prayer of a Needy Sinner. If you are a poor and needy sinner, then this psalm is for you. It will help you. It will help you if you hear it. David wrote this psalm when he was in trouble. David had trouble. He had trouble from people without, and he had trouble with himself from within. Anybody in here? All right, so this psalm is for you. It's a prayer for help. David praying for help here. That's what prayer, part of what prayer is. So if you're a poor and needy sinner like David, and you're in trouble like David, and you need help like David, and if you can pray this prayer like David, then the Lord will hear you and help you. Because David said in another prayer, he said, this poor man cried. And the Lord heard him. And the Lord saved him out of all his trouble. So, a prayer of a poor and needy sinner. Look at verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. Answer me, David said. I want you to answer me. The Lord answered that sorry bunch of Israelites over and over, didn't he? You remember Psalm 107, don't you, Henry? Over and over it says that they got in trouble. Let me read it to you. You can turn if you want. Psalm 107, it's written three or four times. Psalm 107 says they wandered, verse 4, wandered in the wilderness, wandering around. Verse 5, hungry and thirsty, the soul fainted. Then they cried unto the Lord, and he delivered them. Down in verse 11, but they rebelled against the words of God, contemned the counsel of the Most High. So he brought them down. Brought them down with labor. They fell down. There was none to help. But then they cried unto the Lord, and he saved them out of their trouble. Verse 18, it says, their soul abhorred all manner of meat. That is, they got tired of what God had given them. They began to be covetous, desire better things. Verse 19, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them. Down in verse 26, as they had to go down into the depths, soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, stagger at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out. The Lord answered that sorry bunch. So maybe he'll answer us, huh? Answer me, Lord. Hear me. That's what David says. Hear my prayer. Look at verse 1 of our text. Here's how he pleads with the Lord to answer him. In thy faithfulness. In thy faithfulness. Don't. And in thy righteousness. See that? I remember Moses one time said, the Lord, it's not for your righteousness' sake that he's going to do this. You're a stiff-necked people. Remember that, Brother Sam? You're a stiff-necked and hard-hearted people. Not for your righteousness' sake, no, but for his righteousness. It's not for your faithfulness. No, no, no. He's going to answer you. He's going to help you because he's faithful. He's faithful. Verse 2, David says, with that in mind, enter not into judgment with thy servant. Lord, I don't want you to judge me. I'm calling for help. I don't want judgment. I want mercy. For in your sight, no man living be justified. David didn't justify himself. Neither do any of God's people. They don't justify themselves. They condemn themselves. They justify God in his condemnation of them. Right? It says the Pharisees did. Remember that, John, in the New Testament? It says the Pharisees did not justify God. And what he said about them. but sinners do. Like David said in Psalm 51, you're going to be clear when you judge and right when you speak. Whatever you say, it's right. And your judgment. I don't want judgment. It was Matthew Henry, I think. Well, one of the old writers said, I want nothing to do with the God of judgment. I want mercy. I want mercy. I mean, nobody will stand. Nobody will be justified if God judges them in themselves. Verse 3, David says, the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead, the enemy. Believers, God's people have many, and this chief one, though, is the archenemy, Satan himself, prince of power of the air, spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, Paul said, but with principalities and power. Our Lord said to Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you like wheat. And so it is with all of God's people. Satan who leads captive at his will, Scripture says. Satan who as a roaring lion seeketh whom he may devour. And the Lord lets him have some people. So he's an enemy. He's an enemy which constantly besets us. Sin is a great enemy. This root, this principle within us that Paul complained about in Romans 7, this law within me, the wars in my memory, this is an enemy of mine. Now, I'm constantly battling with the world out there constantly pulls at me, that constantly tempts me, that constantly gives me trouble. The world, when I go out in, David says, my enemy. The enemy is our many. The enemy. He said, deliver me. The enemies have persecuted my soul. David had real enemies. He had Saul was after him. We're not sure when he wrote this, but it may have been when he was on the run from Saul. David was on the run from people quite a bit. So this was very real. David had Saul chasing him after his life. David had Absalom, his son, chasing him for years. David had enemies. Do you? Anybody got any enemies that persecute you, bring you down? Surely there's somebody in there. This prayer's for you. Verse 4, David said, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. You ever been overwhelmed? I mean, when things come flooding, overwhelmed means to be flooded with trouble, and to the point where you say, I can't take anymore. Like David, I talked about our enemies. Psalm 38, David said, my sins have gone over my head. They're overwhelming me, Lord. I can't take anymore. And whatever the trouble may be, David said, I'm overwhelmed. My spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart, he said, verse 4. Now, this is an earnest prayer of a man that's in trouble. My heart within me, he said, is desolate. I look within to find something, find some peace and some comfort. I don't find any. It's desolate. There's nothing there. Desolate means it's empty. I can't find anything. Ever been there? If you haven't, you will be. I'm desolate. He said, I'm dry. I'm dead. Verse 5. He says, I think back. I remember the days of old. I remember some good times. I love Job. Job said, oh, Job, after he all those troubles came flooding in on him, he said, oh, that I were as in months past. I wish it was like it was, Job said. Could be. Now, we went through that 3-day meeting, and you were just on a 3-day high, weren't you? 3-day high. Come Monday morning. Come Monday. It won't be all right. starts getting bad, it gets progressively worse. That's why these midweek services are so important. You come Monday, come Tuesday, you say, "Oh, I wish it was like it was last Friday." I remember, he says, "The days of old, I meditate." It's a good thing to do. David said, "I meditate on all thy works." I meditate. I muse on the work of thy hands. I meditate. That's a good thing to do. Meditate. Think about it. Stop. Think. Meditate on God's goodness to us. How that he will not forsake the work of his hands. Feeling desolate? Meditate. Think on God's word where he said he will perfect that which concerns you. He that hath begun a good work in you, he'll perform it. He'll finish it. He's not going to forsake the work of his hands. No, he's not. Verse 6, David said, "I do that. I stretch forth my hands unto thee." There's only one person to turn to. People in this world cannot help us. They've got troubles of their own they can't take care of. Really, people, they can't help us. Nobody can help us. Everybody's got... Men don't have the answers. People all over the world are looking for the answer. They don't have the answers. David had every trouble imaginable. From his youth up, who did he turn to? "I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul," verse 6, look at this. "My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land." Like a barren, dry, parched piece of ground. Hadn't had rain in a while. He says, "My soul thirsteth after who?" After what? After thee. That's... a believer, man was made to be in communion with God, in fellowship with God, to walk with God. Man was created to walk with God. As long as he walked with God and was in communion with God, he was happy. He didn't need a house. He didn't need a car. He didn't even need clothes. He didn't need anything. Think about it. What did Adam have? When he got out of fellowship with God, when he got out of communion with God, when he went looking for better things or whatever, better things. Think about the irony of that. He got out of communion. And God kicked him out of his presence, and there was nothing but trouble from there on out, wasn't it? And salvation is to bring us back into fellowship with God, back into communion with God, make us conscious of God. But even believers get out of fellowship with God, don't we? Out of communion with God. And we're miserable creatures. Miserable. David said, "I'm thirsty after you." He said, look at this, "My soul thirsty after thee." My soul thirsty. And let me tell you now, for anyone who their soul from the depths of their being thirst after God, they'll get it. Oh yeah. The Lord said that the water of this world will leave you thirsty. You thirst for it, and he might give you some of it, but it won't satisfy your, it won't quench your thirst. You'll keep thirsting. It's an insatiable thirst for things, for pleasure, for happiness, for peace, for contentment. This world won't give it. But David said, my soul thirsted after thee. After thee. He's the water that we need, really, to quench this thirst. Now look at the last part of verse 6. There's a Selah. You see that? Selah. That's a common thing found throughout the psalm. It's a musical pause. Psalms are, well, the word psalm means music, poetry set to music. That's what the word psalm means, poetry set to music. throughout the Psalms, which are music or songs, you'll find this little Selah. I don't know what's comparable to that, Jeanette, in some kind of pause in our music. But it means pause. Stop. How long? I don't know. How many measures? I don't know. How many beats? I don't know. The longer the better, though. A Selah. David, after saying all that, Selah is not to be pronounced, by the way, when you read it. But it's written to tell us, pause. Stop. I thought about this. We ought to put that word Selah around our house in various places. Pause. That's a big part of our trouble, daily troubles. We're just such a hurry to do what? To go where? I ought to put a Selah in various places so we'll just pause. Just stop just a minute. Just consider. Think. That's a big part of our problem. We stop to think. Don't pause. Think on things above. Ponder our steps. Listen to this verse, Isaiah 30, verse 15. He said, "In returning and rest is thou shalt be saved." And in quietness and confidence is your strength. Quietness. All right, now David gives seven things, and this is what I want to dwell on for the next 20 minutes. David gives seven things that he asked for. Seven requests here. It's the beginning of the second half of this psalm. Seven things he prays for. Now, this is my prayer, and I hope it's yours. Verse 7. Hear me speedily, O Lord. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hear me. Now, the Lord doesn't have to, does he? He doesn't have to. The Lord is not at our beck and call. The Lord ought not to. He ought not to. But we sure need to. No. David says speedily. You know, whatever you really want real bad, you want it now. Don't you? Most things we want aren't worth wanting. But now this is something good. David, this is something David wants. He wants it now, and it's a good thing. I want you to hear me. Hear me. He doesn't say this presumptuously or impatiently or brashly, but he just says, "Lord, my spirit's failing. I'm in real trouble. I need you to hear me. I need you to hear me fast. Speedily. I'm going down." He says, hurry. Look at verse 7. "Lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit." You better hurry, Lord. I'm going down. Will he? Listen to the Lord himself. When he walked this planet, the Lord said, "Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him day and night, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily." Speedily. Yes, he will. When he finally hears you, you'll feel like he did in a hurry. Hear me speedily. That's the first thing he cries for. "Lord, I want you to hear me." Sometimes that's enough. Sometimes it's enough just to have an ear, especially God's ear. Somebody just hear you out. How many times have you talked to somebody? Somebody say, "I want to talk to you," and they really don't want to hear from you. They really don't want any advice from you. They just want an ear. Huh? Husbands, wives, friends. They just want somebody to hear them. Just want to pour out their heart. You know what I mean? My dad, I remember the times I used to ask my dad the things he might not ask me. And something I really needed, and I said, "Dad, did you hear me?" He said, finally, he said, "I heard you." Okay. That's good enough. I reckon he'll take care of it. You reckon your Father will? Heavenly Father will. Verse 8. David says next, "Cause me to hear. Lord, hear me. Hurry, hear me. I want you to hear me quick, but wait a minute." Next thing he cries is, "Cause me to hear. I need to hear him." Don't. That's, oh my, big source of my problem, isn't it? It's my big need. I need to hear from him. Look at what he wants to hear. I need to hear, he calls me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. What's God's loving kindness in the morning? David apparently wrote this at night. That's good. This is Wednesday night. Tomorrow morning we're going to need to hear of his loving kindness. Now where are you going to hear it? I'm not going to be there to preach to you. Where am I going to get it? God's not going to speak it out loud, is it? You're going to need something to go on tomorrow. Cause me to hear. Selah. Stop now. Think about it. Give me first fruits, the Lord says. First fruits of the day. You might hear something. Cause me to hear thy loving kind. I need to hear God's word in the morning. I mean, really hear. You know, we all... I've got a hearing problem. Physical hearing problem. You know that. But every one of us in here have a spiritual hearing problem. My wife says I've got selective hearing. It may or may not be true. At times it is, at times it isn't. I'll admit that. But so do the rest of us. Spiritually speaking, we all have selective hearing. We hear what we want to. Or things won't let us hear. Have you ever felt so sorry for yourself you couldn't hear what God's Word is saying? Huh? That's a sorry state to be in, isn't it? Or your troubles are so great you worry so much that you can't hear? Won't hear it. You just won't hear. David, one time it said he would not be comforted. He would not be comforted. So certain things won't let us hear at times. Well, we need to hear. And so David prays, "Lord, cause me to hear. Cause me. I won't hear unless you cause me to hear. I won't. Dig my ear." Remember when David wrote that, "Dig my ear, dig out the worldly wax, and cause me to hear it." First thing, tonight, right now, but first thing in the morning, because I'm going to need that the rest of the day. I'm going to need it. We need to begin first thing in the morning with thought, God's loving kindness. Loving kindness is an Old Testament word for grace. Grace. That's the Old Testament word for grace. You won't find loving kindness, I don't think, in the New Testament. But grace is the word. Lord, I need to hear about your grace. First thing in the morning. First thing in the morning. Because I won't need grace to go on. And I tell you this, if we begin with thoughts of God's goodness and God's grace toward us, we shouldn't have too much to complain about the rest of the day. Things should look pretty good. If we stop and consider God's grace to begin the day. Cause me to hear. Cause me, make me sit down, shut up, pay attention to your word, and especially to remember your grace, your goodness toward me. He said, "I trust you. I trust. Here's the next thing. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. David says, "I'm praying this from all that's within me. My soul, I lift up my soul under this." It's not lip service. God won't hear that. This is from his soul, my heart. David says, I lift my soul up. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. We need to begin the day that way, don't we? In prayer. Lord, lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. If you don't lead me, I will go astray. Lord, order my steps in your word and let no iniquity have dominion over me, David said. If he doesn't order our steps, we'll stumble and fall. We'll fall into something. That's what sheep, without a shepherd. A while ago I was leading the singing, and I paused for a little bit to write something down. Y'all stumbled just for 5 seconds. What about spiritual? What in the world? We can't, God can't leave us alone for a minute, for a second. And he uses the means of prayer. Lord, help me. Order my steps. Lord, David says, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. We think we know the way. We don't know the way. Most of the time we would have our own way. There's a way that seemeth right unto man. God needs to show us the way he would have us walk. And what is that way? What's the way? Christ said, I am the way. That means looking to him by faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That means walking the way he walked. Let me walk the way he walked. He says, I lift up my soul. This is a prayer of a heart and soul. The Lord will most definitely hear somebody pray from the heart. Yes, he will. If the Lord hadn't answered you, perhaps, well, the Lord answers prayer from the heart. Verse 9, next thing, David says, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Deliver me from mine enemies. And now this is what the Lord said to pray. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. We don't know how to pray. We really don't know what to pray for. So he said, okay, after this manner pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. And so on. And one of the things he told us to pray was this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now that's just what David prayed, didn't it? Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. That is, lead me not into temptation, and deliver me from evil. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil one. Now, no match for it. He's got a snare and trap around every corner. A net laid for my feet around every corner. And I'll fall for it. I'll fall for it. Deliver me. Deliver me from mine enemies. Again, Satan, the world, sin. And that worst enemy of all. Oh, Lord, don't lead me to this fellow. Myself. The worst fellow of all. Lord, don't leave me alone with him. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Lord, don't leave me alone with me. Don't let me listen to him. He gives bad advice. David says, I flee unto you. I flee to thee to hide me. Hide me, O my Savior. While the storms of life, till the storms of life are past. Hide me. Hide me. Your other refuge have I known. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Hide me, Lord. Hide me. Hide me. Verse 10, the next thing, he says, teach me to do thy will. Hey, let me, Brother Henry, I'm sorry, I had to pick on you. You're sitting there. Have you learned anything yet after 70-some years? Still need to be taught, don't you? David, I don't know how old he is when he wrote this, but you know, a disciple of Christ, it never graduates. A student in the school of Christ never graduates. They need to be taught every day. I need to learn, Lord. I've got a lot to learn. If Brother Henry will fess up, surely the rest of us will. He's 70 years old. Charles, teach me, Lord. Gone all these years studying your word, listening to your gospel, trying to walk with you, don't feel like I made any progress at all. One little baby step forward, two giant steps. Redemptive will. This is the will of God, that you believe on Him. Lord, teach me to do that. Trust Christ, really look to Him. But teach me to do Thy will also, do what you tell me to do, and it'll be all right with me, won't it? Do Thy will. I want to be an obedient child, don't you? You're my God. David says, Thou art my God. Thou art my God. You're my God. I'm going to learn anything. I'm going to learn from you. Your spirit is good. Thy spirit, thy Holy Spirit is good. A good spirit. So lead me. Here's the next thing. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Teach me to do thy will. I want to do thy will, but like Paul said, how to perform that which is good, I find not. I don't. So teach me to do thy will. Teach me. Don't give up on me as a poor student. Teach me. And lead me in the land, lead me into the land of uprightness. I'm tired of following this crowd. I'm tired of following this crowd. I do so often. Lord, I want to go walk in the right land of the upright. I want to be with them. Don't give up on me. Lead me. Take hold. Lead me. I don't want to run ahead. I do that too much. Lead me. Brother Kelly, if you can teach a horse to lead, that's where you got to start, isn't it? When they get in trouble, when they want to run ahead of him. Lead me. Lead me. Take hold of my hand and lead me. Take hold of my hand. Like Lot. Lord, I'm lingering in Sodom. Lay hold of my hand. Be merciful unto me. And bring me out. And lead me into fair Canaan. Lead me out of Sodom. If you don't, I want to stay here. Lead me out of Sodom. And take me to fair Canaan's land. Take me to be where Abraham and my brethren are. Where I'm supposed to be all the time. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Isn't that what we long for? Verse 11, the last thing he says is, quicken me. Quicken me, O Lord. Quicken me. What does that mean? Make me alive. Make me live. I'm a dead dog sinner. I'm a dead dog. So much of the time. I feel so dead to the things of God. So alive to the things of this world. So ready to hear and listen to every voice and everything that comes along. So get so excited about things that aren't worth getting excited about. Ready to follow things, people and things that ought not be followed. So dead to the things of God so much of the time. So dead to the Word of God. So dead. Lord, quicken me. Make me live. Give me that life more abundant that you said you'd give for the asking. Quicken me. Quicken me. David uses this a lot. If you read the Psalm, David uses this a lot. Quicken me, O Lord, according to your word. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. What's his name? Lord, our life. He's life. In him we live and move. Outside of him we're dead. In him we live. So quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. Revive, regenerate me. Like that verse in Habakkuk. Revive the work in the midst of the year. Revive it. Raise me for thy name's sake. You're the Savior. You're the Master. Raise me. Look at this. He began the psalm with this, for thy righteousness' sake. And he's ending it with it. For your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Lord, Hear me, he said in verse 1, for thy righteousness' sake. Hear me. You shouldn't hear me because I'm unrighteous. You shouldn't hear me. I'm unworthy. But you're righteous. Hear me for Christ's sake. I'm pleading with you in Christ's name. Your righteous one, whom you love to hear, whom you always hear. He is my righteousness. Would you hear me for his righteousness? My righteousness. Would you hear me in Christ? And Lord, he says, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. For Christ's sake, have mercy on this old Mephibosheth. For Jonathan's sake, fetch me to sit at the table. Bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies. Cut off mine enemies. Destroy all them that afflict my soul. And he has. We heard that this week, last week. We heard that. The good news. The gospel, the good news of the gospel is warfare is accomplished. Iniquities are pardoned. The sin and iniquity I remember no more. They're gone. I've separated them. As far as the east is from the west. Behind my back. I remember them no more. They are gone. When he had by himself purged our sin. He has. He has cut them off. But yet, we're still plagued with them. How to explain that fully? Nobody can. But you have to experience it. But he will someday completely deliver us, cut us off from all of our enemies, someday to where we'll never have any trouble again. In this world, you shall have tribulation. And it's good because it's meant to cause you to call on him. If he didn't have any trouble, we wouldn't call on him. If you found everything just hunky-dory in this life, you wouldn't eat. You wouldn't long for another sin. So the Lord gives trouble to wean us from this world and to cause us to look to him and seek him. But someday he will cut off all, when we're in his presence, when we're finally with him, he'll cut off all enemies. Like the children of Israel, when they crossed the Red Sea, that's a picture of crossing over the river of death. When they crossed the Red Sea, and then that great gulf came and drowned their enemies. And their bodies washed up on shore. But the people on the other side, they saw those dead bodies, but they knew they couldn't hurt them anymore, couldn't pursue them anymore. They saw them, they remembered, these were our enemies. But they weren't a bit worried. They're dead. And in that sense, we'll remember that we were sinners, but we won't be crying about it, we won't be guilty about it. We'll see. Oh, he delivered us from that evil. Evil. He'll cut them off. And he'll destroy all those that afflict my soul. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's where we're going to go. We're going to go to a place wherein dwelleth righteousness, where nothing maketh a lie. Not where no more sin. No more sorrow. No more trouble. All that afflict my soul are going to be gone. Going to be gone. David says, now this is the reason, Lord, I'm crying to you. This is, would you hear me? Because I'm your servant. I'm your servant. I may not act like it all the time. I may not look like it. And I seem to serve other causes, serve myself so much of the time. You know, Lord, I'm yours. I'm your disciple. I lift up my soul unto you. Would you deliver me? I'm your servant. Well, anybody need that? Any poor, needy? Hear me. He called me to hear. Lead me, quicken me, so forth. All right, stand with me. Our Father, thank you for the Psalms. Thank you for your word. David, man after your own heart, is man after ours. We can enter into these very feelings. If not now, we will. We'll need this later. So, Lord, make this water, cause this seed to be planted and this water, let us drink it tonight so that perhaps in the near future there'll be a wellspring springing up. We need it desperately. This is your word. We need to drink it, feed upon it. Lord, let not the fowls of the air come and take it away, or the thorns choke it out. In Christ's name, we've met here tonight. Amen. You're dismissed.